We are going to be talking about very basic scripture for at least if you've been in BFC for very long. So, you can turn in your Bibles to Mark 11. Mark 11, we're going to start in verse 20. It's about, if you know your Bible at all, you know, remember Jesus cursed the fig tree. He came upon the fig tree, there wasn't any figs, and so he cursed it. He said, dry up from the roots. And so then we drop down a little bit to verse 20, and it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye will have them. So let's start out with prayer. Let's say anything that you have that's going on in you right now, spiritually, physically, emotionally, anything that is not of God, let's take this time to send it away so you can focus on the Word and receive everything the Holy Spirit has for you. So just, you know, speak it out. You don't have to. You can speak it out in your head. You can speak it out vocally. But Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus has paid the price. So we just send away everything that is not of you. We send away discouragement. We send away hopelessness. We send away depression. We send away any physical symptoms in our bodies. We send away pain in the name of Jesus. We send away the sense of lack. We send away fear. We send away anything that is not of you. And Father, we thank you. Jesus paid the price. And we are redeemed from the curse of the law. And so, Father, we put on your peace. We put on righteousness, peace, and joy. We put on your love. We put on health. We put on prosperity. We put on all the blessings that you have provided for us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are within us. Your power is in us. Your anointing is in us. And so we use that. We use your grace because your grace is in us. And so we tap into that and we focus on what you are speaking to us today. That we will hear, Holy Spirit, exactly with our hearts, we will hear. We will understand with our hearts. Our eyes, we will see. Our ears, we will hear exactly what you're speaking to us individually and as a congregation today. And it won't just stop there. We won't just hear it, but you will show us how, and we will apply what you show us. Because our lives are supposed to be changed, and so we just agree it's going to happen for us, each one, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for it. Amen. Okay, we're going to look at these scriptures this morning and just kind of break it down and make comments. And if you've been around, like I said, you've heard this message, you know, you've heard this verse is taught on probably numerous times. But it just, you know, as we're going, we should be making progressive, we should have progressive revelation. Amen. We should know and understand more about these scriptures now than we did 20 years ago. So I'm believing that, you know, that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do this morning. He is going to reveal, give us more understanding of these verses of scripture. In the Young's literal translation, starting verse 22, it says this way, and Jesus answering saith to them, have faith of God. It says, for verily I say to you, whoever may say to this mount, be taken up and be cast into the sea, and may not doubt in his heart, but may believe that the things which he saith do come to pass, it shall be to him whatever he may say. Because of this I say to you all, whatever, praying, ye do ask, believe that ye receive, and it shall be to you. And so, first of all, we see here, he says that, you know, the King James, New King James says, have faith in God. But the better translation of that would be, have the faith of God. You know, one of the things learning, what we're in the process of learning, and what has struck me and has really helped me, is that recognizing that I am in faith all the time. We are operating in faith all the time. It's not, faith isn't something, you know, that, okay, now I have to get in faith. No, we're living by faith all the time. The problem is what our faith is in. See, he says specifically, have the faith of God. In other words, I can have natural faith. Faith is not just a spiritual thing. Faith is faith. Believing is believing, whether it's spiritual or non-spiritual. And so we need to recognize, you know, he is saying to us, have the God kind of faith. Don't have the natural faith. Don't just believe what the world is telling you. Don't just believe what you know, your head or, you know, whatever your body is telling you. But what is God telling you? What does God say about you? What does the Word say about you? That's the faith we need to tap into. Amen. And when we look at it that way, to me, it really helped. Because, you know, we've been at this for a long time. The message of faith we first got, well, how old is Jeff? You 38 or 39? 39? So 39, 38, 37. 37 years ago, we first heard the message of faith. And 37 years, you know, we've had some successes, we've had some failures, we've had some up times, we've had some down times. But it hasn't been consistent. And I could probably pretty much say the same thing for the rest of you. You've had some victories, but you have probably more defeats than you had victories. And you say this work, you think this works, and then it doesn't work. Again, you know, what's going on? I don't understand. Well, to me, the message that we're talking about today is that the root, it is the center of why things worked and things didn't work, because we didn't have understanding. It's not that the message was wrong. It's not that there, you know, we were messed up. You know, there was something wrong with us. It's not a condemnation message. But when we learned something new, you know, when we first got the faith message 37 years ago, we were so excited. Well, this message that, you know, about the heart and what we're going to be talking about today, to me, I am so excited once again 37 years later, because it's new understanding. Now I know why it didn't work, and now I know how to make it work. And it's a whole lot easier this time around than it was the first time around. Amen. It's not about all the works. I have to do this. I have to do, well, why didn't this happen? Because, well, I didn't do this. Apparently, I didn't pray enough. That's why it didn't happen. I didn't give enough. That's why it didn't happen. No, it's because I didn't believe. It's very simple, very simple, very simple. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. Faith, simply immovable trust. Whether it's in God and His Word, or whether it's in something else. We all have immovable trust in something today. There's something, if you think about it, there is something that you are pretty much 100% sure of something. You know, there's something you have immovable trust in. It may be, you know, the your love for someone else. It may be someone else's love for you. You know, it used to be, years ago, when it would be more likely that you would have 100% trust in that you were going to keep your job. Now that's doesn't happen anymore. But there's something, you know. You may have a movable trust you're going to get sick. Or you may have a movable trust you're not going to get sick. But we all have 100% trust in something. Now, once again, 30 years ago, you may have had 100% trust in the government. Now I pretty much guarantee you don't. But we all have immovable trust in something. The issue is, what is it in? Is it in what God says, or what the world says, what somebody else says? And that's our problem, because we're trusting, our trust is in the wrong thing. Our faith is in the wrong thing. But we can change it. That's the good news. That's the good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, next phrase, it goes down and says, for sure, let's say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now, over the years, you know, we have taught, you know, I've heard it taught. We look at the mountain as being things like, you know, our circumstances, or the mountain of sickness, or the mountain of lack, or the mountain of family problems, or the mountain of lack of peace, etc. You know, you all think, I'm sure that if you've been around very long, that you have done this scripture, and you've had a mountain, and you've spoke to the mountain, and maybe the mountain moved, but more likely it didn't. But if we look at all these things, we have looked at the mountain as being out there. That I have to fight the out there mountains, you know, that Satan is a mountain, you know, that whatever. But the mountain, we looked at the mountain as being external, as being out there. But the mountain is not external, it's internal. Because if you look at the examples that I have, you look at sickness, you look at lack, you look at family problems, you look at lack of peace, they start inside. Amen. If I'm sick today, it's because of what's going on inside. If there's lack in my life today, it's because what's going on inside. If there's family problems of any kind, it's because of what's going on inside. If there's a lack of peace, it's because of what's going on inside. If there's a lack of joy, it's because of what's going on inside. So our focus has been on the outside. You know, I have got to work. I have got to keep speaking to that. I have got to do this. I have got to do that. You know, whatever. I've got to do. And when I do all the right things and get all my ducks lined up in a row and keep, you know, then maybe, you know, then it's supposed to happen. And maybe it'll happen. Maybe that thing will change. But a lot of times it hasn't. In fact, you know, the frustration is most of the time it hasn't. Is that God's will? No. Is there something wrong with us? No. Are we bad people? No. Is it God's judgment? No. We just didn't have enough understanding. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Proverbs, I don't have the, you can probably, I didn't look up the reference again. But as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. 23:7? Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart, so, you know, what's going on in the inside of us? You know, what are you feeling today? You know, that sounds like a, you know, it's a psychiatric, you know, a counseling term. What are you feeling? You know, anytime that you see a show or something. What are you feeling? Well, you know what? It's God. What are you feeling? Because our feelings determine what we believe. And what we believe is what our faith is in. And what our faith is in is what we have. You know, the principles of the word work. Whether you're using the word to make it happen or whether you're just, you know, you're coming up with ungodly stuff in your life, the things that he doesn't want you to have. You know, your faith is in your sickness. Can be. So, as a man, what's in your heart? Okay, next phrase. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes. If we look at this, I would make a note of this to me. This is the key to receiving the manifestation of all the blessings of the new covenant. Does not doubt in his heart, but believes. It's all about believing. It's very simple. You know, we've talked, Wayne and I've talked over the years, and it's very simple. You know, and I've said the believing is very simple. It's getting to believing that takes the work. And maybe I should say effort. So it's not a, it's effort. It takes, it's not just, okay, it happens. It would be nice, but it doesn't work that way, you know. It takes effort to change, you know, change those heart beliefs, to do what's necessary so I'm believing the right things. It takes effort. Yeah. But it's very simple. All I have to do is believe. I don't have to pray 4 hours a day. You know, I don't have to read my Bible 16 hours a day. You know, it's not up to whether I tithe or give offerings. It's about whether I believe. Now, there's things, you know, especially the word in prayer. You're not going to believe without the word in prayer. Amen. But to, you know, to get it to happen, I read the word to get it to happen. I pray to get it to happen. That's not going to work. To change me, I'm in the word to change me. I pray to change me. Amen. Then you have a better chance of it happening. Amen. Praise God. Does not doubt in his heart but believes. That word doubt. Doubt is simply believing something else more than the word of God. I believe the word, but. You know, it's God's will to heal me, but. You know, it's God's will to prosper me, but. Because, you know, it's God's will to heal me. But I hurt, you know, I'm in pain. You know, the doctor says this. Doctor says this, God says this. Well, that God, you know, this is, I know this is true, what God says. I know this is true. But we only know it in our head. When we believe it, then it's in our heart. But until then, it's in our head. So we, that's where the effort comes in. I have got to make the effort to do what I need to do to get it from my head and get it established in my heart. And when I believe, with no doubt, then it happens. Once again, it's very simple. Very simple. The heart. We said this before. It's a combination of spirit and soul. It's the real you. When you get born again, your spirit becomes brand new. Your spirit is perfect before God. It has everything of God. You don't have to do anything ever to work on your spirit. It is the God in you, the life of God in you. But the soul needs to be renewed. needs to be changed. It needs to be transformed. So it's the spirit and soul together. That's why we have these conversations inside our head. You know, that we know this part says God, but there's another part that says something else. You know, we go these back and forth, because it's that spirit and soul. That's the heart. When it comes in congruence or agreement, harmony, then okay. Then peace reigns. Praise you, Lord. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. So it's your spirit and soul. And we talked about these other scriptures that show, I can't think of the scripture right now. But it's, you know, when we get born again, our heart gets brand new. You know, we become a totally different person, a totally different, what is it, a totally new species, new creature, new species of being that never before existed. We become something totally different, something totally new. That's who we are when we get born again. But it says, keep your heart. So in other words, when we first get born again, that's why, you know, a lot of times when people first get born again, they're so excited and everything works and they have this, you know, they get this breakthrough and this breakthrough and everything's wonderful. And then after a while, they lose it. Probably happened to most all of us. And, you know, the more mature Christians tell the younger Christians, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. It's now you have to grow up. That's a lie. Now, we've spoken that lie, but that's a lie. Amen. You should never lose what you have when you first get born again. Amen. There should never be dry times in your life. There should never be wilderness experiences in your life. There is, because of what's in our heart. It's not God. Praise God, praise God. Keep your heart. That word keep and with all diligence, keep and diligence are the same word in that they both mean to guard. It takes effort to guard your heart. You know, you get a revelation, you hear teaching, and you know, and you find out, you know, it's God's will for me to be healed. Wow, that's really good. It's God's will for me to be healed. But then I leave, and if I don't do something with that, especially, but then I hear these messages, you know, someone tells you, God doesn't heal anymore. You know, when you listen to Christian radio, this guy says, it's not God's will for you to be healed now. You know, well, this is a famous minister. He must know what he's talking about. Boy, Wayne was listening to somebody this morning teach on, he was using my scripture, and he was teaching, and Wayne's telling me what he's teaching. Good Lord. I'm thinking, who would want to be a Christian? What was it? If you pray, how'd he go? You pray, if it's God's will, and then if it's God's will, he may, in his good time, he might do something. It's literally, national TV, famous minister, that's what he said on TV this morning. What hope do I have? That's no wonder Christians are, what hope? When that's your belief, what hope? There is no hope. I'm going to make it to heaven. That's why Southern Gospel exists, Chuck. You have to have hope somehow. I'm going to make it to heaven in the sweet by and by. It's horrible now, but I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to suffer my whole life, but I'm going to go to heaven. Hey, I grew up that way. I know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have to work to guard my heart. Amen. Why? Because out of it, out of my heart, not out of my head, but out of my heart, it says spring the issues of life, the issues or boundaries of life. This is Thursday night stuff. All the boundaries of my life, my beliefs create boundaries in my life. You know, I can only be as successful as my beliefs allow me to be. I can only be as healthy as my beliefs allow me to be. I can only be as prosperous as my beliefs allow me to be. And it comes out of my heart. That's where they come from. So whatever's going on in my heart, whatever I believe in my heart, that's going to determine my life. Praise God. How I see myself is what I believe in my heart. If I see myself as a mountain mover, I move mountains. If I don't see myself as a mountain mover, I'm not going to move a molehill. How do you see yourself? You know, what do you feel? Go back to that. What do you feel? Sitting here this morning, I've asked this question before. Sitting here this morning, look inside yourself. What do you feel this morning? And feel is that subtle thing, you know? Do you have just total peace this morning? You know, do you have joy? Do you have excitement about things of God? Are you sitting here this morning saying, you know, I'm here because my wife made me come. I'm here because my husband made me come. I'm here because my parents made me come. I can't wait for this to be over. You know, she's just going on and on again, same old stuff. You know, you don't know what I'm going through. What are you feeling this morning? Because if your feelings this morning are anything contrary to what the Word of God says about you, that Jesus paid the price for you, anything that is contrary to the blessings of God, if that's what you're feeling this morning, then you have some work to do on the beliefs of your heart. And that's not judgment. That's praise God, hallelujah, at least I know what's going on, so now I can do something about it. It's exciting. I have the power to change me. It doesn't matter about you. I get to change me. And when I change me, then how I respond to you is going to be totally different. How you affect me is going to be totally different. Amen. Because I change me. I've experienced some of this. I know it's true. I have not arrived, but I have had a taste of it. So I know it's true. Praise you, Jesus. The question is, what do I believe? And I know that by looking at my life. Look at your checkbook. Look at your physical body. Look at your relationships. That's an indication of what you believe. Well, I don't agree with that. I don't care if you agree with it. It's still true. You know, when we don't like to hear this kind of thing, you know, one of the things James Richards talks about is resistance. Because, you know, to tap into this message means I have to change. And a lot of people, it's more important that I'm right in what I presently believe, and I'm not willing to repent, which means to change. And if you're not willing to change, well then, God loves you. God wants this for you. You know, we want this for you. But there's no hope for you. Because you have to decide to change. As you decide to change, as you decide to do it God's way, then change happens. Heart changes. Life gets better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Next phrase is, but believes that those things he says. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. It says, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, if our heart condemns us, that means all of those scriptures we know, you know, or at least part of them, whatever area your heart you feel condemned, that means it's only head knowledge. And that's been our problem over the years, is we thought we were in faith when all it was intellectually we knew the scriptures. Intellectually we could preach back to whoever. You know, we could tell somebody, well, this is what the word says. But it was all intellectual. It was all information, not application. And with no application, then there is no transformation. So if our heart condemns us, condemn, blame, find fault with, to accuse. So if your heart, you know, when something happens, I can't think of an example right now, but if you, you know, you feel, one of the areas that I have to deal with is that, you know, I'll preach a message, and then I'll go home. And sometimes it's Sunday afternoon's okay. Sometimes it doesn't hit me till Sunday night. Sometimes as soon as I leave, it hits me. And then sometimes it hits me on Monday. But all that I hear in my head is, you know, you shouldn't have said that. Why'd you say that? You know, you messed it up here. You didn't do this right. You didn't say this right. You know, why did you say that? You know, and it's just, you know, condemnation, 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 condemnation. Is that God? No. I know when I've messed up, God speaks to me different. I know the voice of God when I've, you know, there's a difference between conviction and condemnation. But if whatever area of your life, whether it's to do with your relationships, whether it's to do, you know, well, let's take sickness, you know. Okay, I'm sick. Well, I know why I'm sick because, you know, because I went outside and didn't wear a coat. Because I've been eating junk food for the last 40 years, you know, because I did this. That's why I'm sick. Now, it's God's will to heal me. It's God's will to heal me. But if we're honest with ourselves, inside us, you know, I can't get healed because of this. Or God's judging, you know, God's, can't think of the term. Yeah, reprimanding. Yeah, I'm paying the price because, you know, this is what I sowed, so I have to reap this. But God doesn't judge. God doesn't condemn. That's my heart. And I know for me, over the years, you know, there was times I thought it was God. I thought that voice was God. Now, probably never you ever had that happen. But for me, you know, I thought that voice was God. I thought God was telling me, yeah, you messed it up here. You know, you messed it up here. But the Word says, if our heart condemns us, my heart, my beliefs, because of what I believe, I feel condemned. I feel judged. I feel blamed. I feel accused. You know, sometimes we imagine other people are, you know, we look at the expression on their face and we figure that they're judging us. You know, Thursday nights are so much fun. Now, this week it was better. I did good. I went home. I went to sleep okay. But you sit here and look at the group of you. And the thinking is, why am I even here? You know, they said they wanted to do the book, but by looking at them? And a lot of times, that's what happens, right? Someone has an expression on their face, and we figure, well, they're judging me. You know, they're blaming me for this. How many in a marriage? Huh? It just happened with Wayne and I. We're in the car the other day, and I don't remember what the topic was. But he's telling me something, and I turned to look out the window. And he accused me of, you know, I forget even what you accused me of. But in other words, he figured that I was oh, you accused me of making a noise. He accused me of going, ah. Like, you know, I was coming against what he said. I don't even know why I turned my head. But of course, that probably never happened to any of you either, right? That's my heart condemning me. Those kind of things, that's my heart condemning me. Because if I believe, I am loved by God. I am accepted. I am forgiven. I am anointed. I am full of power. I am love because God is love and God is in me. If I am full of righteousness, peace, and joy, if that's what I believe, then what you say to me, how you say it, when you say it, whether you yell at me, whether you swear at me, whatever, I can walk away and not have it bother me. Because of what is in me. When the right beliefs are in me, you can't hurt me. But as long as my heart's condemning me, if I already feel rejected, you know, and we don't have time to go into all that kind of stuff, why? But if I feel rejected, if I feel that, you know, whatever, then I'm going to believe something different and I'm going to respond something different. Very simple. It's very simple. Very simple message. Okay. So God's great notes are things, okay, and then down to 1 John 3, verse 21, he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, in other words, we believe what were the right things, he says, we have confidence towards God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him. Because we keep his commandments. Why do we keep his commandments? Because of what we believe, right? And when you know, that's a totally different message. We won't go there. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when we believe the right things in our heart, we have confidence toward God. That word confidence. I have freedom in speaking. You know, when I've sinned or when things aren't right between me and God, and you know, the word says come boldly before the throne, but do we come boldly before the throne? No, because we figure God's the one that's judging us. God's the one that's making us feel horrible. So I don't want to go to the guy that makes us feel horrible. But when I believe the right things, when I know that God loves me, when I know I'm accepted in him because of Jesus Christ, then I can come boldly before the throne. I have confidence. I have freedom in speaking. I have cheerful courage. I have boldness. I have assurance. I can go to God and say, God, I need healing. And Jesus paid the price for this. Or God, I need $100. And Jesus paid the price for this, so I know it belongs to me. I know you're my dad. I know that you love me. When it's in my heart, our problem has been we thought it was in our heart, but it was still in our head. So a week down the road, okay, I'm still having these symptoms. God, it's your will. What's wrong? Why didn't you heal me? You know, what's wrong? Why didn't you give me the money? God, you knew I needed that money. Why didn't you do it? You know, and then it's the, you know, if we keep following that path, you know, we blame God. It's God. This message, the word isn't true. You said this is what's supposed to happen, but it doesn't happen. And that's what happens a lot of times with our kids. How many times over the years I've seen kids in solid rock, and they're so tied in with the things of God and so sensitive to the things with God. And then they have prayed for something, and it didn't happen. And so they turn against God. It happens over and over again. The message is still true, but the understanding is not right. And so there's consequences. Praise you, Jesus. Next phrase, those things he says will be done. Confession. That's what we're talking about here. And the word confession means to say the same thing or to agree. You've heard that a zillion times over the years. Wayne has taught that hundreds of times over the years. When we confess, we say the same thing. Our problem has been our understanding of confession is not exactly what confession really is. You know, we looked at confession as, you know, as a formula. You know, if I say it enough times, it's got to happen. I have some quotes here from James Richards from the Boundaries books. I think it's very interesting. He says it better than I could, so I'm just going to read it. He says, if I confess it, I will, and this is how we have approached it. If I confess it, I will convince God that I believe it. If I confess it long enough, loud enough, and passionately enough, it will somehow cause it to come to pass more quickly. The more I follow this formula, the more I convince myself of the complete opposite. Because we're not doing it from our heart, and I confess and I confess and I confess, but I'm not getting any better. But this is supposed to work this way. If I just keep confessing it, it's supposed to work, and it's not working. So what do? Then our heart seems to turns and says, well, the message can't be true. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. You know, I'm doing everything I can. You know, what do you want from me? And so what do? We start putting our beliefs, changing our beliefs even more against the Word of God because it didn't work for me. And I'm sure sitting here this morning, if you have not been there, you probably know someone who used to come here who went that direction. Praise God. The key to confession is never found in an attempt to make something come to pass by saying it. It has to be based on something that is already done and believed. What we have called confession is not biblical confession. It's persuasion. And to get to change the beliefs in our heart, we have to speak it out to persuade us. But I don't have to speak it out to persuade Jess. I don't have to speak it out to persuade any of you. I need to speak it out to persuade me. That means that most of my confession or the persuasion is supposed to be when it's just me and God. Because that's who it's involved, God and me, not you, not anybody else. It's not for me to impress you on how much I know or how spiritual I look. You guys know when someone speaks the word, you know whether it's from their heart or whether they're just trying to say the right thing. Well, it happens with Wayne and I all the time. You know, you got to impress the minister. You got to say the right thing in front of the minister. But you know, and it's so many times over the years, I know in my heart, they're not going to get what they want. You know, I remember many years ago, there was Phil and Connie had, they had time when they had two or three people, something like we went through later, of a woman who, they had women, people with cancer, and, you know, if God didn't intervene, they were going to die. And so this one woman, she was here for camp meeting or something. And I was talking to her, and I heard what was coming out of her mouth, and I knew inside she's going to die. But, you know, Phil and Connie were gung-ho, and, you know, everybody was speaking and believing, and, you know, she's going to be healed, she's going to be healed. Well, there was one of the, I won't say who it was, but there was somebody in their church, a teenager. When she died, it totally messed them up for years. We have to watch. You know, we say all these things. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, yes, you're going to be healed. I agree with you. I declare that this is going to happen. Based on what? What happens in my life is what I believe. What happens in your life is what you believe. You know, now God in His grace and His mercy can intervene in situations. You know, God in His love, He can intervene in situations. You know, intercession has its time, but that is more for sinners than it is for somebody in this congregation. You guys know too much. So is what you believe. That's why when you hear about, you know, this great Christian who died, how could that happen? You know, this great minister who died, how could that happen? You don't know what was in their heart. I know God didn't do it. That's all I know. I know God didn't do it. Confession is, there's another quote, confession is an agreement with what Jesus has accomplished on the cross, what you believe in your heart and what you are saying with your mouth. Unless there is harmony in all three places, your faith, he has in quotes, will not be faith at all. And that's a lot of the time where we've been. You have to have agreement in, has Jesus accomplished this on the cross? Did Jesus pay the price for what I want? That's number one. And what is in my heart? If I see, you know, this is, Jesus paid the price for this, but it's not, I know it's not in my heart yet. Well, then that's when the time of renewing the mind has to come in. You know, we have to put off what is not of God, but then we have to renew our mind so we know what is of God, and then we have to put that on. And that just doesn't happen by what you say Sunday mornings. That just doesn't happen by your, you know, prayer in passing. To get to your heart, to change the beliefs in your heart, it takes time of spending with just me and God, of sitting in His presence and going into, you know what, that meditation CD that was still going on Thursday nights, what some of you are already doing. But I have to get into my, you know, into my heart zone, is it what James Richards calls it. But I need to get, so I am actually hearing God. I need to get past the point where all the outside stuff is hitting me. I need to get that time and just, and then I need to, it's not just, you know, speaking the word, but getting to experience the word. You know, we've talked about this before. Very simple example. What does the word say? Christ in me, the hope of glory. And the other, there's another scripture. I am in Christ. So, you know, that's where we started. You know, getting into His presence. You know, getting to the point where nothing on the outside is, it's still, I'm aware of it. But, you know, focusing on Christ in me. And James Richard takes you through the process of actually visualizing, seeing Christ come in me. And, you know, I've had different ones. We've talked about this with some of you. And just for the rest of you guys that are doing this and having problems at all, I never see Jesus' face. You know, we talked about with Bill and Wendy. We never see Jesus' face. I don't look at Jesus. I don't know what Jesus' face looked like. But it's that image of, you know, I can see His hands. You know, I can see His lower body. That's what I focus on. And He's coming into me. And then when Christ is in me, It's a totally different perspective. Then God's out there, you know, or we just in my head, yes, I know Christ is in me. If we know it, then our life shows it. It changes us. Praise God. If you speak it but don't believe it, you will waver. James 1, verse 6. Familiar scripture. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. Or I think King James says without wavering. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. If you believe one thing in your head and believe something else in your heart, it's not going to happen. There has to be the harmony between heart and head and the word. Wavering, you know, we talked about doubt. You know, God says one thing and I believe something else. Wavering is going back and forth. And we've all been there, you know. God says I'm supposed to be healed. You know, it's God's will for me to be healed. Boy, it really hurts. Oh, man, I'm probably going to have to call the doctor. But God says I'm supposed to be healed. You know, I confess to it. Jesus paid my price. You know, Jesus paid the price for my sickness. I don't have to be sick. Oh, man, it really hurts. You know, I'm probably going to miss work. You know, they're probably going to put me on antibiotics. Oh, but Jesus paid the price. Jesus, that's wavering. Back and forth, back and forth. And the word says what? He will not receive anything from the Lord. If you're wavering, you're not in faith. If you're not in faith, it doesn't work. Not a judgment. You know, you're a bad person. What's wrong with you? Why can't you get it together? But let me just recognize that's where I am. So now I know this is what I have to do. I need more time renewing my mind in this area. And we may have some areas we believe that we know that we're in our heart, and we have other areas we just believe in our head. And there may be other areas we don't even have a clue that that's what God said is available to us. It's all a process. That's what our lives will be as long as we're here. If it is confession, it will not cause stress, but bring peace and a sense of power. It will be conversational, not forced. You know, like we talked about before, you know when someone's saying thing and they're just saying it because this is what I'm supposed to say. But it brings peace. Have you ever had it happen? I know many times I've had it happen. You know, you start speaking what the word says and it just, you get this, you know, uncomfortable feeling. You get this kind of anxious feeling. When that happens, it's because you don't believe it. So you look at it. You ever have someone say to you, and we've had this over the years, have people say that, you know, I can't confess it. That's lying. You know, for me to say I'm not sick when I'm sick, that's lying. Well, that's what we're talking about here. If I speak the word, you know, something, and it just doesn't feel good on the inside, I've got some work to do in renewing my mind because I don't really believe that. And I have to decide, am I going to repent? Am I going to change my mind and say, what I believe is wrong, God, what you believe is right, and I'm going to go your way? Let's see, Matthew 12, 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So once again, what is coming out of our mouths is what is going on in our hearts. You may say, well, it's not, but it is. And this isn't your church conversation. This is just your daily, you know, going about life conversation. What's coming out of your mouth? If you don't know what you believe, listen to what's coming out of your mouth. That's what's really in your heart. We may think we have, you know, it's not that, but that's the truth. That's what the word says. Another thing about confession, it will be done more in the presence of God than in the presence of people. We talked about that. And also we talked about this. If it's not confession when I'm speaking the word, it's persuasion to renew my mind. So we need to recognize. If it just excites me, if I have peace when this comes out of my mouth, it's just natural, this comes out of my mouth, then that's an indication I believe it in my heart. But if it's a forced thing, if I have to work on it, or this is, you know, I'm going through I've got to do my daily confessions. If you have to do your daily confessions, then they are not in your heart. Because once you start believing things, you don't have to confess it every day. Not to get it to happen. Now, your confession should be to remind yourself, you know, like for healing. You know, that's why various times I'll remind myself, I go through, you know, I'm not sick, I'll never be sick, I'll never need surgery, never have an injury, never break a bone. My youth is renewed like the eagles. My eyesight will not grow dim, my hearing will not grow dull. I have strong, healthy joints and bones. Why? Because Jesus. That's why, because of Jesus. And that's what this all is, because of Jesus. Not because of what I've done or what I haven't done, it's because of Jesus. My faith is not in me. My faith is in the Jesus. Amen. Jesus paid the price. I never did. I don't deserve any of this. But Jesus paid the price. And God loves me so much, he gave it to me because he gave Jesus. Is that understandable in my head? No way. I cannot understand that in my head. It has to be in my heart. Praise God. He will have whatever he says. Doing it in faith is when there's harmony between that which has been accomplished through Jesus' death and resurrection, what is in your heart and what is in your mouth. If you want to know why it's working or not working, then this is why. When there is harmony between what Jesus has done, what's in my heart, and what's in my mouth, it will come to pass. If there is not, it won't. Very simple. Just going to end it with this, Mark 11:24. You know, Jesus went through this and told them this, and then he makes this declaration. He says, therefore, I'm telling you, whatever things you ask when you pray, when you believe you receive them, you will have them. No ifs, ands, or buts, no whether it's my will or not, is when this is, you know, because by now he's saying, you know what I'm saying, you know what the word says, you know what God has paid the price for, you know what God wants for you. When you do it this way, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Praise God, it's available to every single one of us. As I said, takes effort, very simple. That's the direction we're going. I believe a year from now, we're going to have more testimonies than we know what to do with when we start applying this and become who God has called us to be. Praise God, let's praise and worship him.